Man, what a powerful song. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Luke chapter 1 with me, please. Luke chapter 1. We're taking a break from our 3 series going on right now. We're preaching a special message for Mother's Day. Luke chapter 1. There is something about that name. Amen. Glory. The name of Jesus Christ. The name above every name, the Bible says. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that He is God, to the glory of God the Father and glory of God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Praise His name today. That's why we're here. We're here to uplift His name. You pray for me that we'll preach this with power today, okay? Luke chapter 1. For time's sake, just going to read one verse of Scripture, verse number 60. Luke chapter 1, verse 60. Now somebody told me that I'm kidding, but somebody told me here that I can preach as long as this water lasts, so. Luke chapter 1, verse 60. There'll be a long break in between each sip too, folks, okay? I'm making some visitors nervous. All right. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark 2 words. The 2 words, his mother. His mother. The his here, he is John the Baptist. So today we preach on John the Baptist's mother by the name of Elizabeth. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. May you be pleased with us, I ask. Help me to preach this message with power and with might from on high. Speak to me and speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. John the Baptist was a mighty man of God. As a matter of fact, he was the forerunner of the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. During his life, he was a powerful preacher. He saw the Lord and proclaimed Him to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He made much of Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, and we see him later in life saying that Christ must increase and he must decrease. John the Baptist was put into prison for taking a stand against Herod's sin of taking another man's wife. Now it was in this place that his head was cut off of his body for preaching the truth of God's Word. This man called John the Baptist was truly a man of God, mightily used for God's glory. However, today we're not going to consider John, we're going to consider a very important person in his life. We're going to be looking at his mother. And may I say that his mother was also mightily used of Almighty God. John the Baptist had a mother by the name of Elizabeth. And there's not much mentioned of her in the Word of God, but what is mentioned here shows what kind of a woman of God she truly was. God blessed this mother's life in a marvelous way. Now today's Mother's Day, as you well know, and I'd like to take this time to honor all the mothers who are here in this service and those who are listening by means of the live streaming over the internet. It is an exalted privilege to be called mother. I want to take this time to honor my own mother who's here today. She's here. My dad's here. My brother's here. His wife's here. And my mom has been a wonderful mom. And I'll be honest with you. I've been around death this week, a lot. There's people dying all around this week. People getting close to death, people dying. Somebody asked me this week, they said, "Do you still have your mom and dad?" I said, "Yes." I love my mom, love my dad, and I give her and him, especially her today since it's her day, a lot of honor. I want to take this time also to honor my beautiful wife. She's back in the nursery, I think. She was going back to see if they needed her. And if she's not in here, that's where she's at. I hope she didn't run out on me anyway. I want to take this time to honor her. She's the mother of our 2 precious children. Actually 3, 2 of them on earth and 1's already with the Lord. She's a wonderful wife and a great mother. I love her and honor her today. And as we consider John the Baptist's mother today, let us all apply these lessons from her life to our own. All people, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father, whether you're a man, a woman, boy, or girl, makes no difference. we can learn some invaluable lessons from this dear woman of God. All of us, especially moms now, can take this outline and make it a prayer list and begin to beg God to make us this kind of a Christian, honestly. Now let's look at Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, and summarize her life. Now I'm emphasizing every one of these points here with his mother, number one, his mother, number two. You're with me, right? Number one, his mother, first of all, was righteous before God. We see this in chapter 1, verse number 6. Look at it. The Bible says, and they were both righteous. Matter of fact, let me skip back to verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So he's talking about Zacharias and Elizabeth, who later becomes John the Baptist's mom and dad. In verse number 6, notice this, and they were both, here's number 1, righteous before God. Now, my friends, this word righteous means innocent. It means just, it means right, and it means holy. Now, this is no doubt the greatest thing that could be said about this mother is she was innocent before God. She was just before God. She was right and holy before God. This means that in the sight of God and in the sight of His presence, she was a righteous person. Now, whether this is speaking of her salvation or her sanctification, we must remember that both always go hand in hand. In other words, if it is speaking of her sanctification, that she was living a righteous life, we know that can only be true if it's flowing from a forgiven heart. Because no one is righteous before God in themselves. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary to make a sinner righteous and holy and innocent and just before an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ is the righteousness of a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, which knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Philippians 3:9, and He found in Him not having mine own righteousness, and be found in Him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. The greatest thing said about John's mother, the greatest thing, is that she was righteous before God. In the same way this morning, if you are a mother, if you're anybody, but especially a mother, today this is too the greatest thing that can be said about you. A child having a mom who is righteous in the presence of God is what this country needs. We need mothers who care more about their standing before God than their standing in society. I'm telling you, it is a great thing to be able to look and say, when God the Father looks at me, He sees somebody just before Him. He sees somebody innocent before Him. He sees somebody righteous before Him. And the only way you can become righteous in the sight of God is by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's it. Number one, his mother was righteous. He was righteous before God. Number two, we notice his mother walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now that's a long point, but I'm just giving you some direct quotes here. Look at chapter 1, verse number 6. Again, and they were both righteous before God. Here it is now, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now skip down to verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Now, the emphasis of that right there is that when the angel came to Zacharias, he told him that when your child is born, name him John. So we see that in all of these verses, that one major thing, another major thing about John the Baptist's mother was not just that she was righteous before God, but that she walked in all of his commandments and in all of his ordinances blameless. This is the second thing we notice here. This simply means that she lived her life in obedience to the will of God for her life. Now notice how the Bible tells us that she walked in all of the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. This goes to show that she did not pick and choose what to obey. She did not question the Lord's authority in her life. She simply obeyed what he told her to do. She did it to the point that the Bible says she was blameless. You know what that word blameless means? It means faultless. It means unblameable. It means irreproachable. Now, was she a perfect person? No. But she walked so closely in the Word of God that nobody could look to her and say, she's not obeying there. She's not obeying there. She's blameless in that area. The bottom line is she had a wonderful testimony. You know what her testimony was? She's going to do what God tells her to do. What a testimony. What a testimony. You know, an interesting thing about this also comes out about her obedience is found in the very next verse, verse number 7. Look at it. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. Now you say, Jody, what's the point there? The point there is this. This verse tells us that she was barren. You know what that means? That means she had no children. And back in this day, if a lady had no children, it was a major reproach on her life. I mean, it was majorly looked down upon, and people even thought that God was judging her for not having children. But instead of getting mad at God and questioning his dealings, she just kept on obeying all his commands and all of his ordinances in spite of her trial. Now, we know God is going to give her a son, but she didn't at this time. She didn't know that. Only thing she knew is that she was barren, she could not deliver children, she was getting older and older and older, and isn't it interesting that when she did not know that God was going to give her a boy, she just kept on saying yes to the commands of God. Powerful, friends. I'm telling you, we learn a great lesson here. We learn a great lesson that along with her doing this, even at the end right here, whenever she's giving birth to this boy, she said they tried to name him after his father, which was customary. But she said, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to name him John because that's what God told us to do. Now, friends, all mothers can learn a value, all people, but when I say mothers, I'm talking about everybody, okay? But I'm going to apply this to mothers today because it's Mother's Day. All mothers can learn a valuable lesson right here. And that is to find the commandments of God, and they are in the Word of God. Go to the Bible every day of your life. Find the commandments of God and obey the commands of God no matter what's going on in your life. If you're on a mountaintop or if you're in a valley, we need mothers today who have a blameless testimony of doing all that God has commanded in His precious Word. Determined to be a mother of the Bible who obeys all of God's commands. This is what our children need more of today. I'm telling you that the second thing we notice about His mother is that she walked in all His commandments and all of His ordinances blameless. James 1:22, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Luke 11:28, talking about Jesus, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Let me ask you a question. Now, you're not perfect, nobody is. But I'm speaking directly to mothers and applicably to everybody. Is there any command in Scripture that you're not walking in? By the way, she walked. You know what that means? That means every day she just kept doing it. It's a continuous action. She walked in all the commandments of God and all the ordinances of Scripture. It means no matter how old, how young, what day of the week it is, she just kept on obeying God's commands. We can learn some lesson there. That's number two. Number three, this is just a little Bible study here. Maybe a big Bible. Hang on a minute. It's time for me to take another sip. I'm kidding, all right? Aren't you glad? Number three, his mother was righteous before God. His mother walked in all of his commandments and ordinances blameless. His mother, number three, recognized God's favor on her. Look at verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. Now, between verses 7 all the way down to verse 24, this is where the angel comes to Zacharias. He tells him what's going to take place. Zacharias has a little bit of lack of faith, so God shuts his mouth and said, here's a sign. You're not going to be able to speak until the child's born, basically. Okay, all this. And then now Elizabeth is expecting John. In verse number 24, came to pass as soon as the days of her, verse 24, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, now notice this, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Now the emphasis here is this. We see here Elizabeth conceives and she hides herself for 5 months. And the Bible says as she's hiding herself, she's saying this, God has looked on me and he's taking my reproach away. In other words, she was making it known that she recognized the fact that the baby she was now carrying had come from the hand of God. She didn't look at her son as a burden, but a blessing from Almighty God. She was giving her God praise for his favor on her life. She was recognizing the fact, listen, that it was not even her and her husband coming together. God used that, but she recognized it was God who had given her this seed. And let me say this to you. The way we apply this is, would to God we had more mothers today who look at their children and break out into praise and adoration for their God who has been so good to them. In a world where babies are being aborted on the right and on the left, if I know my Bible, that is murder. That is murder. I'm telling you, if I know the Word of God, and I may not know a lot of it, but I believe I've got God's pulse on this, God starts conception. God breathes life in the womb. And I'm telling you, in a world that says, just get rid of them. I don't care who it is who says it's okay. God says it's not okay. And I'm telling you that we need to look at our children and break out into praise, saying, God has been good to me. Do you look at your children and think that way? Do you look at your children and say, my, look at the blessing of God in my life? We need moms like this. Psalm 113:9, he maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. That's a great verse. He maketh a barren woman to start keeping house. Now you mothers, you know what that means, don't you? Keeping house, glory. Hallelujah. I took my children to the wild beast feast last night. And Jalen, by the way, they had my favorite wild beast there. His name is Kentucky Fried Chicken. Anyway, I was taking care of Jalen. I was taking care of all these things. And I put her a meatball on there of a wild boar. And she wanted some spaghetti made out of deer meat. And she got some, you know, I played it safe. I got her a chicken strip. And I was sitting there, and I looked over at her, and the chicken strip had a little bit eaten off of it. She downed that wild boar meatball like it was going out of style. I'm telling you. I said, you like that pig? I told I think two people last night, God bless my wife. Glory. When you have a three, well, she's four. She turned four yesterday. Can you believe that? She's 4 years old. Hallelujah. I'm getting off track on it. Anyway, I'm telling you, a lady knows what it means to keep house. And he says he makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. That means only God can open the womb. Amen, friends. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Psalm 127:3, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Number one, his mother was righteous before God. Number two, she walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Number three, she recognized God's favor of her, on her. Number four, she fellowshiped with Mary. She fellowshiped with Mary. Look at chapter 1, verse 39. Now, in verses 26 down to verse 38, this is when the angel appears to Mary to tell her that she's highly favored and God has chosen her to be the virgin mother of His only begotten Son. Then in verse 39, Mary arose in those days, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, the emphasis here that I want you to see is the Bible says at this time Elizabeth was 6 months along with John. She was expecting for 6 months. When the angel appeared to Mary, Elizabeth was 6 months along. The angel appears to Mary to tell her the news that she was going to be the virgin mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Mary was highly favored with God to be chosen as the Lord Jesus' mother. She was God's child and special to the heart of God. Now, she went to the house of Elizabeth. Now I'm going somewhere with this point. Just stay with me. And the point is, Elizabeth welcomed her into her home and had sweet fellowship with the mother of our Lord. The point is, John's mother, now get this. John's mother opened her home and into her presence one of God's children. And she fellowshipped with one who was pleasing to God. Now, in the same way, somebody said on my tombstone, it's going to have two things. One's going to say that was powerful. And the other one's going to say in the same way. But anyway, in the same way, I'm applying this. Mothers would do well to learn the lesson of opening your home and your life to God's children, who is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Here's what I'm saying. We are to be careful who we associate with and fellowship with in our homes and in our lives. Our choices of association and our choices of fellowship can affect our children for good or bad. Let us open our homes and lives up to those with whom God is pleased. This doesn't mean you hi-hat people. This doesn't mean that you don't shake people's hands and you're kind and generous and compassionate all around, but it means you just don't let anybody come in your home. That's what it means. You need to learn to fellowship with God's people inside your home. It means you're to be wise when it comes to who you allow your family to be influenced by. The Bible puts it this way. Just stay with me here in the book of Luke. Let me just slip to this. In 2 John verses 9 through 11 says this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Notice closely. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ and Christ alone, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If there's a false cult, they're all false. If there's a cult that shows up at your door, if there's a Jehovah's Witness, a Mormon, somebody like that shows up at your door, the Word of God says they are not of God. And you are not to open your home to them. You open your home to them, God says you're participating with them. That's what the Word of God is teaching. Now, does that mean you don't try to reach them? Sure, we try to reach them. Reach them on their territory. By the way, if they come to your door and you want to take the conversation over and you want to try to win them to Christ, they're at your home. Then you help yourself. But if they say, can we come in and share something from the Bible with you? That's what they'll do to you, friends. Can we share something from God's Word with you? You know what I'd say? Hang on just a moment. Go get me a gospel tract and say, I know all I need to know right now. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Say, wait a minute, you're at my house. You be kind, you be compassionate. If you don't want to do that, just say, no, thank you. I'm going to heaven. God bless you. Have a great day. And shut the door. Don't slam it. Just gradually shut it. Okay? Be kind, be compassionate, be Christ-like. Amen. You don't need to be ugly about it. But God says you don't just let anybody in your home. You let them in your home, they'll influence your kids. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, Christians. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So number four, we notice his mother, she fellowshipped with Mary. And the emphasis there is, she fellowshipped with somebody that God was pleased with. She allowed into her home and opened her home to somebody that God was pleased with. Number five, his mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. We see this in verses 41 and following. Look at verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth, here it is, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now this verse tells us that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, John, the baby, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what this means? This means she was under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And she began to speak out, the Bible says, with a loud voice in praise to her Lord. She did not praise her God in silence, but she praised Him with a strong, this word loud, it means a strong, it means a big voice. She praised Him with a strong and big voice. In other words, she was not ashamed to speak out praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. She called Him in verse number 43, my Lord. Why is it that the mother of my Lord, the emphasis is she was not ashamed to identify with her Lord. She preferred Jesus to her own son in her womb. And I'm telling you that all of these things were natural outcomes. I'm talking about her speaking with a loud voice, praising God, identifying with Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. Preferring Jesus over her own boy. That were all of those were outcomes of that phrase. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in the same way, there we go now. We need mothers today in our homes who are filled with the power of God's Holy Spirit and under His influence, that when you're under His influence, you will boldly lift your voice in praise to your Savior. Anyone who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit will be speaking boldly and unashamed in honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. You show me somebody who's ashamed to speak a word about Christ, I show you somebody who is not Spirit-filled. Because when you are Spirit-filled, it spews out your mouth and it brings out praise to God. By the way, what's the Holy Spirit's main job? Uplifting and praising and drawing people to Jesus Christ. That's why we know there's some places who are wrong who uplift the Holy Spirit so much that they praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, and there's little of Jesus. That is incorrect. The Holy Spirit is, yes, He is God the Spirit. Sure He is. But his office is he's in the background pointing people to Jesus. So when he's filling you, now when you got saved, you got all of him there is. Being filled with the Spirit means he's got all of you there is. You've yielded your body to him to where he's living through you now. You understand what I'm saying? And when you submit to the Holy Spirit and he fills you up, you will do what he does. You will praise Jesus. You can't help it. You see what I'm saying? She was full of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Luke 19:37, when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. 2 Timothy 1:8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So point number five is, his mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. Point number six, there's only seven of them, stay with me here now. Point number six, she believed the Word of God. We see this in verse 45. Notice her language as she's speaking to Mary. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Do you see what Elizabeth doing? In this verse we see her telling Mary, there will take place. It's going to happen. What God told you, it will take place. She's showing great faith in God's word at this point. Even though it was a miracle and the natural man would shake his head, a virgin is going to bear a son? Yet Elizabeth said, God said it. And the performance is going to be just like he said. Elizabeth wanted Mary to know that the Word of God was going to take place. She believed what God said. You know, mothers today would do well to follow Elizabeth in this area. What area? That God's Word is true and needs to be believed. We need mothers today who go to the Bible and believe whatever God says. Even if it seems impossible, if God said it, it's the truth. We need mothers who show faith in God. As that little chorus goes, that preacher says, have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. We need people today who simply say, God said it. And I don't care if that person believes it or that person believes it or that person believes it. God said it and it's going to happen. God give us mothers like that. Mark 11:22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Acts 27:25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Paul said, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Number one, his mother was righteous before God. Number two, his mother walked in all God's commandments and all of his ordinances blameless. Number three, his mother recognized God's favor on her by giving her John. Number four, his mother fellowshiped with Mary, a believer and one pleasing to God. Number five, his mother was filled with the Holy Ghost. Number six, his mother believed the Word of God. And number seven, finally, and in closing, his mother encouraged Mary in the will of God for her life. Now, this is still the same verse, verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. In this verse, we not only see her believing the Bible, but we see her encouraging Mary. Now, we see Elizabeth encouraging Mary, this young teenage girl, in the will of God for her life. Now, here's what I'm trying to paint in our minds. We can only imagine how Mary must have been feeling at this time. She has never known a man. And when an angel appears to her and tells her she's going to give birth to the Christ child, no doubt there would be those people accusing her of immorality. They even accused her of it when they told the Lord, we be not born of fornication. They were accusing his mother at that time of fooling around. She was going to be falsely accused. She could become the talk of the town. But all she was doing was submitting to the will of God for her life. That's all Mary was doing. Verse 38 says that for us right there where Mary says, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary's saying, "Whatever you want to do with me, I'm yours." She's going to be the topic of ridicule. She's going to be the topic of false accusation. She's just living in submission to her Lord. So she comes to Elizabeth's house. And Elizabeth opened her arms to her. When she did, John leaps in Elizabeth's womb. Israel and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, begins to speak concerning the child that Mary's carrying. She proceeds to tell her that she's blessed for believing the word of God and encourages her that she had heard that what she had heard from the angel was going to take place in her life. In this, what we see Elizabeth recognizing this young lady who had given her body to the will of God for her life. And instead of Elizabeth getting envious or getting judgmental, she rather uses her energies to encourage this young handmaiden of the Lord. She tried to help this young teenager in the ways and will of God. And in the same way, we need mothers today who will recognize other ladies, whether it be their own daughters, whether it be their sons, whether it be a teenager in this church, whether it be a younger lady in this church, whatever it is, recognize another lady who's trying to do right, who's trying to serve the Lord. And instead of getting envious and judgmental, why don't you ladies ask God to lay another lady on your heart who you can encourage and you can mentor and you can help along life's way? Try to help somebody serving the Lord by encouraging them, not by being envious or judgmental of them. 1 Samuel 23:16, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God." Now I'm telling you, as a servant, not much of one, but as a servant of the Lord, I need encouragement. And anybody trying to serve the Lord needs encouragement. Wouldn't it be great for the mothers of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to stand and say, "I'm through being judgmental and I'm through being envious of somebody else's kid. God, lay some other young girl on my heart who's trying to serve you. And if you'll help me, I'll help them to keep going for your glory." A college student sees a sign on campus many years ago, and it said, and I quote, "Earn $100 a week." He takes a job selling Bibles. This young Lebanese immigrant sets out with a briefcase full of King James Version Bibles and a heart full of zeal, only to find that some of his customers lack Christian charity. Some of them slam the doors in his face. They laugh at his accent, and I can identify with that, people laughing at your accent, but anyway. In his first 85-hour week, can you imagine 85 hours he worked in 1 week? He earned only $19. And turns to his sales manager for advice. And his sales manager says this, "Look, when the customer says no, it doesn't mean no. Just take the N and put it on the other side of the O and go on." And this young man buoyed by that homily, his name was Salim Ziadi. He did go on. And today he has an Americanized name, the name Sam Moore, and he's still selling Bibles. The company he runs is known as Thomas Nelson. And may I say something to you? At this time of this illustration, that company was the lead, and it still could be, I don't know, was the leading publisher of religious and inspirational books, controlling about 30% of the estimated $150 million a year Bible market. Some of you have a Thomas Nelson Bible in your hands today. You want me to tell you why you do? Because when he was discouraged, after 85 hours, ready to throw it in, somebody said, I'm not going to push him in the mud. I'm going to encourage him and try to lift him up. Take the end, put it on the other side, and go on for the glory of God. May somebody ask God to lay another young person on their heart and encourage them. Amen. I cannot say that story without just mentioning Mr. Curley to you. He's with the Lord. There have been many, many people who've encouraged me in my walk with Jesus Christ. My sixth grade Sunday school teacher got a hold of me, started taking me out soul winning with him, giving out gospel tracts. He's with the Lord. But I'm glad that I had many people, he being one of them, who reached out and encouraged me in the ways of God. May God help somebody else to do that. Now in this message today, we've taken a look at the mother of John the Baptist. Her name was Elizabeth. She was a woman mightily used of God. She is truly one who can and should be mimicked from mothers all over the world today. It'd be great for the ladies of this church to take this message and make a prayer list out of it, just the main points, and beg God to help you become like that. God, help me to be righteous before you. God, help me to obey in all your commands, blameless. God, help me to recognize your favor. God, help me to fellowship with God's people. God, help me to be filled with this Holy Spirit of God. Lord, help me to believe your word. And help me to encourage some young saint along this journey. Wouldn't you agree with me as I close my Bible that John had a pretty good mother, friends? And may God help us to learn these lessons. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us today to be more like you. And I pray that you help mothers today to say, God, make me like that. Make me like that. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I ask you some questions here today, and I just ask for your patience. Just a few more minutes. We're just about done. I'm just going to go right down the line. Point number one, all the way down to point seven. The first major point is this. John's mother was righteous before God. You cannot be righteous before God unless Christ, who is our righteousness, is living in you. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? I'm not asking, do you hope you're saved? Do you think you're saved? I'm asking you today, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're a child of God? Do you know that heaven is your home? Have you said, Jody, I'm glad I know. I'm not trusting my works. I'm not trusting my baptism. I'm not trusting my church membership. I'm glad that I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. And I know in my heart that when God the Father looks at me, He does not see me. He sees His Son. And therefore, I am righteous before Him. Have you know that's true about your life? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being honest. Is there a mother here today, or maybe just anybody here today, say, Jody, that first point is where I need to start. You know what's interesting in these list of things about Elizabeth, that God started off with that one. She was righteous before God. Everything else just flowed from it. Maybe you're here today and say, Jody, I need Jesus. God looks at me. He doesn't see righteousness. He sees me. And I realize I'm never good enough. And you say today, I'd like to be saved. Friends, this has nothing to do with joining this church. This has nothing to do with turning over a new leaf. This has nothing to do with the baptistry. Nothing to do with that. It simply has to do with you knowing Jesus as your Savior. That's it. It could be that somebody walked in here with filthy rags. The Bible even says that those who come to God with their good works, it's just filthy rags. But you could leave with the righteousness of Christ. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you for the world. And by the way, all of us who could raise our hand, there was a day when we couldn't. You're not alone. If you're here today and say, Jody, pray for me, I need to make sure I'm righteous. I need to make sure I'm saved. I'd like to make sure of it today. Is there one like that? Be honest. Be honest. Put your hand up in the air right now. Would you do that? Up in the balcony, down below. You say, I need this. I need this. I need to be saved. I want to know the Lord as my Savior. Is there somebody like that? Would you put your hand up? Put it right back down. Anybody? Anybody at all? Put it up. Put it right back down. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Are you obeying all of His commands? Are you blameless? Number three, are you recognizing His favor on your life? Number four, are you opening your home to God's people? Or are you opening your home to the devil's? Number five, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Number six, are you believing the Word of God? Number seven, are you encouraging somebody along life's way? I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but I'm going to invite you to come and talk to the Lord about it. I think it'd be great today to have mothers, especially if you have your children. If your husband's here, sure, he can lead in this, but this is Mother's Day. It'd be great for mothers to grab their children. If you want to bring your husband, I think that'd be great. Come to this altar and say, God, make us like Elizabeth. Make us like the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you need Jesus, you need to be saved. Come on. If you want to come talk to the Lord, you're a mother, you're a father, whatever, grab your children. Come on. You want to talk to God about these points? Come on. Brother Gary sings. Come on now. Folks are responding. You
have
come now.
Own
come
way,
now. Would you do that?
Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
So
while I am waiting,
you know the Lord Jesus.
Yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
There's still time for you. Come on.
As in thy
talk
presence,
to God.
Humbly I bow.
Sing on, Brother Gary, if you don't mind.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living.
They're playing through softly. I believe the Lord's laid this on my heart, if people are praying. Some of you dear mothers might have a wayward child. Some of you dear moms might have a child that you've been praying for, you're brokenhearted over. And let me say this to you. Whatever the mother does, don't stop praying. A mother's prayer could be what's keeping the door of God's grace open to that child. Don't stop praying. Praise the Lord. Is this Zing? Am I right with saying that? Okay. Jung. Jung. I like that. This is Jung Morrison. This is Brother David's wife. If you all want to stand together there, she is from China. Am I right with saying that? And they are in America. They've tied the knot. Precious family. She has been saved. She knows that. She's trusted Christ. She's been scripturally baptized. And she wants to join this church. We are thrilled to have you. Amen. We're worldwide. People from China joining our church. You know what I mean? Well, it's the pleasure of the church that we accept her into our membership by statement. Okay? Brother Earl, Brother Joe, second, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. I like it. You stay right there. Brother Dave, if you want to stay with her, Hope many of you will come by and shake her hand. And this is a blessing. Praise the Lord. And people are praying. People are seeking the Lord. Amen. Be back tonight. Preacher Lassell will be preaching tonight. You pray for him. God will use him in a great way. That'll be good. Let's pray together. Shall we? Father, bless now. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. Take these simple thoughts and use them in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you are a visitor,